Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, precious saints of God. How are you doing today? I hope you are doing well. As for me, busy in the Lord, happy to be with you tonight, happy to be sitting around the Lord's table where we can just have our manna from heaven. I hope and pray you've been enjoying this series. The series is entitled The Sacrifice of the Wicked and the Prayer of the Upright, the Sacrifice of the Wicked. Our scripture text comes from the book of Proverbs. It's a Solomonic text. It reads like this in the King James Version of the Bible, Proverbs 15:8, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity on this Thursday, July 20th, to come together as your people to consider your word, to consider the many different kinds of sacrifices that the wicked present to you, believing that you will accept them. But you classify them as an abomination, and as such, they are rejected. Speak to us, O God, that we present not any of these sacrifices to you, sacrifices that you will reject, sacrifices that you will not acknowledge, sacrifices that you would not be well pleased. Bless us, O Lord, we pray, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you today as we need you every day. We need you in this hour, Holy Spirit. We dare not go forward without your guidance, without your leading. Precious, sweet Holy Spirit, would you teach us tonight? Would you reveal truth to us tonight? Jesus told us, and that you and you alone will be able to lead us and guide us to all truth. Truth is what we want. So Holy Spirit, lead us there, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. For the purpose of this series, I'm only going to present to you three kinds of offerings that make up the kinds of offerings that either God would reject or God would accept. For example, yesterday in talking about Cain and Abel, we discovered that both Cain and Abel brought unto the Lord acknowledgement offerings. And bringing to God their differing acknowledgement offerings, they were acknowledging him to be creator, proprietor, provider, and redeemer. When we come before the Lord each and every week with our different kinds of offerings, we too are acknowledging that God, our Father, is the creator of this beautiful world, this universe that we live in. We also acknowledge that not only is he the creator, but he's the sole owner of all things visible and invisible. That every blessing that comes our way, everything that is provided to us in life, all comes from Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And that ultimately he is our redeemer by sending forth his son Jesus Christ to be our lamb. God has saved us. Now, both Cain and Abel brought their acknowledgement offering. And yet we discover that Abel was accepted, but Cain was soundly rejected. Today I want to talk to you about another offering. It's called the ministerial offering. People whom God calls into the ministry also present offerings. I present offerings. Every preacher presents offerings. Every office bearer in the church presents offerings. These are called ministerial offerings. That's what they're called. For example, let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Let's go quickly to Matthew 7. And in Matthew 7, 21, we've already considered this text, but I want to show you. It says in Matthew 7, 21, not everyone, Jesus is speaking, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will. Some people are doing what? The will. Others are not doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? See, prophesying is a ministerial offering that the preacher makes to God and the congregation to whom he's ministering. That's a ministerial offering. Prophesying, preaching, exhorting, that's an offering. And it goes on to say, and in thy name have we not cast out devils? When ministers come and they deliver a soul from the power of Satan, that's called deliverance, and that deliverance is accomplished through the preaching of the gospel. That too is a service that a preacher renders to God and to people. It's an offering. And then Jesus goes on to say, and in thy name have we not done many wonderful works? Now, the works are not specified, but we can imagine different kinds of works, works of mercy. How about visitation? That's a wonderful work. How about feeding the poor? That's a wonderful work. How about clothing the naked? That's a wonderful work. How about teaching? That's a wonderful work. Instructing, discipling people. That's a wonderful work. All those are wonderful works. So all of these, prophesying, casting out devils, setting people free from the power of Satan, visiting, teaching, feeding, clothing people in need, all those are what we call ministerial offerings. It's the kinds of offerings that those who are in the ministry or those who are serving Christ as ministers, whether they be ordained ministers or lay ministers. You can be a pulpit minister and you can be a pew minister. A pulpit minister is an ordained minister. A pew minister is a lay minister. Well, ministers offer offerings, sacrifices to the Lord. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Some people who supposedly are in ministry are wicked. And they're offering ministerial offerings to the Lord, which God deems to be an abomination. Let me bring you over to another scripture. Go with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. Philippians 2, 17. Paul says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. In other words, Paul says, listen, my whole life is being, I am being worn out through all of the ministerial activities. Every time I do something, every time I serve, I preach, every time I teach, every time I have 20-hour days, it's a sacrifice. Ministry will physically and mentally wear a person down. So Paul says, listen, if I be offered up upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, in other words, if you advance in Christ by all of my hard work, he says, I rejoice for you all. He says, listen, I'm dying, but you're being blessed. I am wasting away through what? Through stonings, shipwrecks, imprisonments. Paul was in Philippi when he founded this church. Wasn't he beaten half to death? Wasn't he put in the Philippian jail? Didn't he and Silas, after a brutal beating, did they not pray and sing praises to God at midnight? The Philippians know all too well Paul's sacrifice in order to advance the church. In fact, this letter to the Philippians is being written from prison. It's one of those Pauline prison epistles. He's not in prison because he's a shoplifter. He's not in prison because he embezzled some company. He's in prison for preaching Christ. And in prison, it's a hard life. It's not like the prisons that we have today, where today you get a cell phone, the state-of-the-art cell phone. You get an iPad. You get cable in your room. My good, you get three square meals. That's prison table. Well, not in Paul's day. So he says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice. In other words, life is ebbing out of him. But in return, the Philippians are growing stronger in Christ. Paul's growing weaker in body, wasting away through apostolic travels and challenges. But the churches are growing. People are growing in faith. He says, listen, if that's me, I rejoice. And I hope that you would rejoice. So there's ministerial offerings. So I want to show you in the book of Numbers. Let's go to Numbers chapter 16, because there's a man by the name of Korah. He's a younger cousin of Moses. And in Numbers 16, Korah decides to try to take the church away from Moses. Moses was his pastor, not because he wanted to be pastor, but because God gave him no choice. Remember all of the excuses that Moses gave to God at the burning bush? And Moses says, "You've got the wrong man, God. I really don't need the job." And God says, "You have it whether you like it or not." So Moses was not a self-ordained, self-proclaimed pastor. He's there because God put him. And here comes one of his cousins, Korah, a great-grandson of Levi, the founder of the tribe of which Moses belongs. Levi is the priestly tribe. And Korah, with some other associates, tries to take the church away from Moses. And Korah and his so-called fellow ministers tried to set up a church within a church in order to cause a split. And I want you to read what happens to Korah. I want you to read. So what we're first going to do is we're going to read chapter 16, verses 1 through 14. 16 verses 1 through 14. Then we're going to pause. And then I want to focus on verse 15, which is Moses' prayer to God. And then after we pause and we read verse 15, then we'll pick it up at verse 16 again. So let's read Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 14. You're going to want to read along with me. Please have your Bible open. Thus beginneth the reading of God's precious word.
Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them,
"You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?"
So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company.
"Tomorrow morning, the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this. Take censers, Korah, and all your company. Put fire in them, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi."
And Moses said to Korah,
"Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel have separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them? And that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi with you? And are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord, And what is Aaron that you complain against him?
And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But they said,
We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us?
Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up.
So here you have this band of troublemakers, 250 leaders who have joined Korah and his rebellion, along with a few others that were named in the text. So the 250 men who joined Korah are representatives of all the tribes. This is a congregational coup d'etat. This is what this is. It's a congregational revolt led by a few in the congregation who are called to ministry. Korah is called to ministry. The sons of Levi are called to ministry. They're the priesthood tribe. And yet, they are coming against Moses and Aaron. Now look at verse 15. Moses speaks to Korah and he says, listen, you get all dressed up tomorrow and you get ready with your priestly paraphernalia. You go put on your shirt with your minister's collar on and grab your Bible and grab all your stuff and let's go before the Lord and we're going to see who the Lord's going to pick. And then there were some other rebels whom Moses called to a meeting who said, no, who are you to be calling us to a meeting? You're nobody. Be quiet. You've made false promises to us. You made all these big promises and nothing's come to pass. You're nothing but an arrogant leader. We won't listen to you. Now, verse 15. I want you to focus on verse 15. And Moses, not God, we haven't heard from God yet. And Moses was very wroth. Now, you take your concordance and you look at that language, very wroth, and those are words which describe God. They describe God. When God is angry with the wicked. And Moses was very wroth, and he said unto the Lord. Now, I can imagine Moses went back to his tent after he was rebuffed by the leaders who called him every name under the sun. I mean, this is a full congregational rebellion. Leaders from every family, 250 of them, have come with Korah to protest the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Leadership that they didn't want, by the way. Leadership that was divinely imposed on them. And Moses was very wroth, and he spoke to the Lord. And this is what he said to God. Respect not their offering. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about do not honor their preaching, do not honor their teaching, do not honor their exhorting, do not honor their intercessions. What Moses is referring to here is not monetary offerings, but ministerial offerings. These, remember, they're challenging Moses' ministry, the genuineness, the validity of Moses' ministry. They're claiming he's a false pastor who has become the pastor of that great congregation from manipulation. That's what they're claiming. And Moses was very angry because that's not the case. And he says, listen, Lord, whatever these scoundrels present to you by way of incense and prayer and supplications and intercessions and animal sacrifices and sermons, and have no respect for their offering. He goes on to say, I have not taken one donkey, one ass from them. And if you remember when Moses first left Midian with his wife and his children and was on his way to Egypt, he used a donkey. He had one donkey. So in other words, what Moses is saying is, listen, Lord, I started out ministry with my own donkey. I took my wife and my boys, and I used the one vehicle I had, which was the donkey. And these people haven't even reimbursed me. Moses wasn't in ministry for the money. He was in ministry to serve the Lord and the people. So he says, listen, they haven't reimbursed me on anything. Neither have I hurt one of them. I have not manipulated them. I've not lied to them. I've not hurt them in any way imaginable. So now, let's continue reading.
Then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord,
do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them.
And Moses said to Korah,
tomorrow, you and all your company be present before the Lord, you and they, as well as Aaron. Let each take his censer and put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord. 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer.
So every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and stood at the door of the tabernacle of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron.
Separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment.
Then they fell on their faces and said,
oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation?
So the Lord spoke to Moses.
Speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram.
Now you see, who are the three wicked men? Who are the three wicked leaders? Well, here they are, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And God says, listen, tell the people, tell my people, tell my sheep to get away from, don't go anywhere near Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Don't go anywhere near them, because I'm about to show my displeasure against the wicked. Their sacrifice, their burning of incense, they dressed up and all of their priestly paraphernalia is an abomination to me. These are rebels. These are troublemakers. These are liars and instigators who have come to bring murmuring and divisiveness among my people. Verse 25.
Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation.
Depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins.
You see, what did Moses call them? Wicked men. Wicked men. Wicked men who want to be in ministry. Wicked men who want to burn incense before the Lord, who want to do priestly sacrifices and present priestly offerings and priestly intercessions before God, but they're wicked men. How many people like that do we know in the church today? People who just want to be in ministry, people who just want to do this, that, or the other, but they're wicked. And they gain what? They gain prestige in the church. Some of them gain a following. Some of them are able to pull off some measure of a coup d'etat. But God calls them wicked. And let's see what happens to these people.
So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said,
"By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works. For I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord."
So Moses says to the congregation, this is how you're going to know that God is angry with these men. They're not going to die of natural causes. What's going to happen is the earth's going to open up right underneath them, right where they stand. The earth is going to open up, and it's going to become a shaft. And they're going to go down into the hole. They're going to plunge into the hole until they arrive at the mouth of hell. When you see this happen, when you see the earth swallow them, the earth is going to open up. They're going to go down into the pit right before your very eyes. You're going to hear them yelling, scream with their wives and their children. And when the earth closes again, then you're going to know that God was angry with them, that their sacrifice, that their offering was an abomination to the Lord. You see, and this is what God does, my brothers and sisters. Now, of course, God is more gracious today. He doesn't do that. He doesn't open up the earth and swallow people whole. But he dismisses whole families. Korah, his wife, his kids, you don't see them again. They're gone. Why? Because God removes them from the congregation. Never to come back again. Never to be allowed in again. Why? Because their ministerial sacrifice, their ministerial offering was an abomination to the Lord. Their preaching is an abomination. Their prayers are an abomination. Their worship, their singing, their instrument playing, all that they have in offering to the Lord as ministry, God considers it a foul stench. Why? Because it's all about them, not about God, not about the people.
Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said,
"Lest the earth swallow us up also."
And a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense.
So in other words, God got rid of all the troublemakers. That's what he did. He got rid of them all. Why? Because their sacrifice, which in this case was a ministerial sacrifice, a ministerial offering, was considered by God. Moses didn't have the power to open the earth and cause these people to be swallowed by it. That's God's doing. God got rid of them because they're wicked. Moses said, these wicked men, look how they caused you to turn on me and to turn on God. Thus, whatever it is that they're coming to offer before God, that and all that they own will go down into the pit as proof that their sacrifice, their offering, was an abomination, a complete abomination to the Lord. How many people do we have in churches who stand up in the pulpit and preach and exhort? And just because the earth doesn't open up, they think that God has accepted, brought before the congregation. Well, I'm here to remind you of what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Why will they say that on that day? Well, because on the day that they prophesied, on the day that they offered up their sacrifice of abomination, the earth didn't open up and swallow them. God was merciful. He didn't kill them that day like he killed Korah on his day. And others will say, did we not cast out devils? And did we not do many wonderful works? And Jesus will say to them, well, I didn't get rid of you back then, but I'm getting rid of you today. Then I will profess unto them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me once and for all, you that work iniquity. Whether he gets you now or he gets you later, your sacrifice is an abomination to the Lord. And there are just people like that today. There are a lot of Korah ministers today. So many. How do we know that? Well, turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, that little book right before Revelation. It says, Jude 1:11. Woe unto them. Woe. Why woe? Well, because they're damned. They're racing headlong to hell. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and they have run greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward, and they will perish as in the gainsaying of Korah. What's gainsaying? Well, gainsaying is when you're able to dupe and convince people to come to your side. That's what gainsaying is. Korah was able to speak into the ears of 250 men and persuade them to go against Moses. That's gainsaying. That's what Satan did in the beginning when he took with him a third of the angels. God had done nothing wrong to those angels, yet Satan was able to gainsay. He said things to them which gained their what? Their confidence. And he pulled them over to his side. He caused a split. Gainsaying always causes splits. And this is why God gets rid of the gainsayers, and he gets rid of those who go along. The 250 men, it says in Numbers 16, they too suffered the same fate as Korah. What was that fate? Death. While Korah and Dathan and Abiram, the earth opened up and swallowed them and their families, the other 250 rebels killed by a plague. Got rid of them all. Again, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination before the Lord. We'll leave it there. We'll come back tomorrow as we finish up this series. This has been a eye-opening series, if I may say so myself. May God bless you. Don't forget, tomorrow we have a full day of activities. We're going to be going into the highways and the byways and encouraging people, young people, to go to our youth services. Please pray for Sister Amy and the young people. Please pray for those who are going to be going into the streets with me. The adults are going into the streets to see if we can rally the youth of the streets to go to church. Pray for us. Pray for our success in the Lord. God bless you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
You said you'd come and share all the sorrow. You said Able to